Next, I would like to welcome Professor Joyce Tolliver, who is the chair of the University Senate's conference for the next year, to give her report on the USC.
Thank you. Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here with you today. Well, as you know, the members of the University Senate's conference meet regularly to discuss system-wide initiatives and issues with the president and the executive vice president, as well as with other vice presidents and system leadership, and to give our advice on a range of matters. When we become aware of issues or concerns that are relevant to the entire University of Illinois system, we bring them to the attention of the president and executive vice president. Essentially, we're the Senate's elected advisory committee to the president and through the president to you, the board. The University of Illinois system is going through some major changes as we respond to changing budget support and as we lead discussions about what a public university looks like in the 21st century. With these changes come both opportunities and challenges. And as we craft our vision for the next century, we'll continue to confront a number of key issues. Today, I want to briefly highlight just four of those issues, which USC members have been discussing and will continue to discuss. Throughout the rest of this academic year, USC representatives will return to the board meetings to give more in-depth presentations on each of these four issues. So here's a quick overview of the four topics that we look forward to discussing with you in the upcoming year, and in no particular order of importance. First, what are the implications of thinking of the University of Illinois as the public's university? Second, how do we define our educational mission? How does that mission look different when we focus on creating a labor force on the one hand, or on promoting a more general liberal education on the other? And how does our undergraduate mission integrate with our graduate training and our research missions? Third, as we've sought to broaden and diversify our financial and civic support, we've entered into all sorts of new partnerships, not just for economic reasons, but also for reasons relating to research and innovation, or to social justice, outreach, and public service. What are the implications of these new partnerships for the University of Illinois system's faculty and students? And fourth, as we increase our collaboration among the three universities, there will be more academic leadership and coordination at the system level. We'll want to maintain our strong tradition of shared governance as this work goes forward. How will we do that? So I want to say a little bit more about each of these four issues in turn, and why they're important to University of Illinois faculty members. Since the University of Illinois was founded in 1867, the percentage of our budget funded by the state has declined dramatically, but the university's responsibility to serve the population of the state has only increased. So today, the ways in which we serve the people of Illinois, and even which people we serve, are not what they were in 1867. As faculty members, we feel a strong commitment to making sure that students have equal access to the high caliber education that the University of Illinois system is known for. But it's not just a matter of access. We also want to make sure that our students succeed once they get to our classrooms, and that their successes here will carry them forward throughout their lives. There's sometimes some tension between these two goals, and as we think about faculty responsibilities like admissions decisions and policies, we're challenged to balance them. As important as it is, teaching is only one way in which a university like ours serves the public. We also serve through our research and scholarship and our public service. Well, how do we keep all these priorities in balance? How do we serve multiple different publics? The state of Illinois, of course, but also the national and international publics who also look to the University of Illinois system for leadership. In 1867, the land-grant mission was why the University of Illinois existed. UIS and UIC may not have been established as land-grant universities per se, but their mission to serve the public is just as strong. So how do we understand that mission now, and what will it look like decades from now? The decline in state support for public universities, combined with limits on the amount of tuition that we can realistically, or I would say ethically, charge, requires public universities to seek funding through new partnerships, whether those partnerships come about through philanthropy or whether they're developed with industry. These partnerships often give us great new opportunities to move away from the ivory tower model of education and towards a model that tears down the walls between the university and the community, between the classroom and the world beyond. They can allow us to build new research centers, award endowed professorships, provide more scholarships, or branch out into new areas of academic inquiry. But on the other hand, we can't just chase the money. We need to protect our fundamental self-determination and our autonomy over the core missions of education, research, and outreach. We need to protect the rigorous objectivity of our research. And we need to protect academic freedom and provide a safe forum for free speech and for the expression of diverse points of view, even when those might not be popular or profitable. See, I think I've got my slides mixed up here. Yeah, okay. Okay, I'm gonna go back to a slide that looks like I skipped. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just go ahead. I'm like, all right. So I wanna talk a little bit about shared governance. University Senate's conference exists because the University of Illinois follows the principles of shared governance that the American Association of University Professors expressed over 50 years ago. We are a university in which, and I'm quoting from that statement, all the components are aware of their interdependence, the usefulness of communication among themselves, and the force of joint action. When this process is going really well, as it usually is, we come pretty close to embodying Steve Ball's definition of shared governance, which you can see on the screen, which he describes as faculty, board members, and administrators actively engaging to share responsibility for identifying and pursuing an aligned set of mission-driven, sustainable outcomes and priorities. 10 months out of the year, our president and our executive vice president set aside a couple of hours, sometimes more, to sit down and discuss a range of issues with an elected group of 20 faculty members from the three universities. And those 20 faculty members juggle their many professional commitments so they can spend 10 days a year, full days, and often more, helping to design sustainable outcomes and priorities. USC is where the shared governance work of each of our three universities converges and where we enact shared governance on the level of the system. As the work of the universities increasingly crosses campus boundaries, we may need to create some new shared governance structures that will help ensure good communication across the system and beyond, and that will strengthen the good relationships we've all worked so hard to build. I'm part of our university shared governance tradition. You might say it's altogether extraordinary. Before I leave, I want to show the names of the 20 members of the University Senate's conference who set aside their time while juggling their also their many other professional commitments in order to make shared governance happen here. All of them collaborated on this report. And I'm happy to respond to any questions or comments.
Questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Tolliver.